Welcome to ATS Mix.
I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Featured interview.
Dave, I got to tell you, I'm just about ready to get flushed down the toilet here in California. I don't know what kind of weather you're having there in Dallas. You got good weather there?
Well, you know, I mean, we have quite the opposite of what you guys are going through. I mean, you know, I know you're clinging on to tree branches and stuff, keeping yourself out of the toilet. But today it is right now 78 degrees, clear skies and cloudy. I have the air conditioners on in our home. Yesterday, we had the fireplace. Now, is this nuts or what?
That's pretty wild. Hey, we've got ourselves a great guest that we are going to be interviewing here in just a little while. So why not introduce him now? I'll start off with a little bit of bio about the gentleman we're going to be speaking to. His name is James Gillian. He is an author, minister, intuitive counselor, visionary, and founder of the Sattva Sanctuary and ESETI, which is the Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. After a near-death experience, James was expanded into what he calls a interdimensional mind. This greater awareness brought him into a greater understanding of the vast interdimensional multiverses that we live in. He's authored several books, including A Reunion with Source, Becoming Gods 2, and the soon-to-be-released Ultimate Soul Journey. He is also featured in two videos, Project Contact and The Keys to Utopia. He also has a radio program that you may listen to. It's called As You Wish, and it's located at www.bbsradio.com and has appeared as a guest himself on numerous shows that include Coast to Coast AM, Jerry Pippin, and The Paranormal Radio Show, just to name a few. He's also got a few websites that we'd like to encourage you to go to, actually, when you're listening to this. It is at www.eseti.org, that's E-C-E-T-I.org, and www.kazekel.org, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but it's C-A-Z-E-K-I-E-L.org. And at this time, the ATS Mix would like to welcome to our show our guest, James Gillian. Hello, James. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing great. How are you doing?
Very good, sir. Hey, listen, did I pronounce and spell those names correctly on the website?
Oh, pretty close. It's Kazekiel.org. But actually, we've kind of consolidated everything into the ESETI website just because there's so much information on there. We couldn't keep two sites going. It was this full-time job just,
right,
you know, keeping up with the, with everything. I've got the website. I have the radio show. And I've got actually three new movies have just come out, and one... Two have been released, and one is soon to be released.
Tell us the names of those so our listeners can be on the lookout.
Well, yeah, Contact Has Begun is the one that was released, and it's going global. It's covering everything. And as a matter of fact, it actually covers the earth changes that you're experiencing right now and the dynamics behind them, as well as contact, as well as the near-death experience. And it covers a wide variety of things, but... you know, everything we're experiencing right now as far as weather fits right into, you know, the information given in that DVD.
Wow.
And then the other one is the Orbs, the Veil is Lifting, and that has quite a few people in there. Jay-Z Knight's in there, Michal Ledwith, some physicists, all kinds of people are in there talking about orbs, which are the light spheres that are showing up on everybody's digital cameras right now, and they can't figure out what the hell is going on, you know, with all these big light spheres and balls of energy and everything in the photographs that they're taking right now. But it's a matter of the veils between worlds are diminishing, and it's much easier for us to have these experiences right now and actually document them as well.
Hmm.
Third movie, there is in the wraps right now. I can't really talk about it until they release it. I've tried to... we just had the L.A. Times and some other people up here, and I couldn't even talk to them about this movie, you know, and I called the producer, and he says, no, don't talk about it. So it's going to be released this spring. So I can't really talk about that one very much other than their top authors, teachers, physicists, scientists, And it's all about turning the planet around. What do we need to do to turn this planet around?
Would it be safe to say that it's going to be mind-blowing information?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The first one, Contact Has Begun, is it's just getting amazing reviews. And everywhere we've shown it in a special screening, it's received a standing ovation. And we're not even getting any negative feedback whatsoever. When you go that public, you would think, you know, people would be throwing darts at you like they usually do, but it's amazing. People are seeing this and go, you know, this all makes sense, and it gives the science behind contact, how it talks about the other dimensions and how we're not alone in the universe, and we just need to get past the concept that we're just a body and a personality and that there's much more to us, and then we can open up to the rest of the universe.
Before we actually start talking about the ranch and what's going on there, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us about this near-death experience and how it became a life-changing thing in your life?
I got body surfing off of Little Corona down there by the Wedge. And we were pretty far out on a sandbar body surfing, and these waves came in, and it was about 6 to 8 foot waves, which are kind of big, but I was an avid swimmer. I was captain of the water polo team and swim team and everything. So I kind of felt bulletproof in the water, nature came along and gave me a very humbling experience, and the waves went up to 17 to 25 foot tall waves just out of nowhere. The problem was I rode one in, and I was trying to get back out again, and this wave just broke right on top of me, and it hit me like a, swatted me like a fly. It dislocated my shoulder and knocked the wind out of me, and it just held me under forever. And then after about the third wave hit me, pulled me down, I couldn't get any air, and eventually you just can't hold on, and you let go. And as soon as I let go, and I said, this is it, I went through the tunnel that everybody talks about. And mine was much different than some people. I had several other near-death experiences when I was a child where I had bronchial pneumonia and was crossing over and had conversations with other worlds and things and then came back. I had a being that had electric blue eyes, and she looked, you know, somebody like a biblical character, like Mary or one of the other ones, kept appearing to me, and she would talk to me and stroke my head and give me a substance to turn me back around. I kept asking people who she was, and she was all dressed in blue, and all the other ones in the hospital, the nurses wore green uniforms. So it was one of those in-between world situations that was going on. But I think that's what opened the door for the next one, because I didn't have the light review or anything that everybody talks about. Usually you go and you have a light review and you look over your whole life how you could have done things better and been a little more loving and caring to people and a little more service-oriented and then you move on. But I went right on through and ended up in this golden plane of bliss, and it was the most just loving, joyous, peaceful energy you could imagine. There's no words that can talk about this experience.
First off, I want to do a minor sidebar. You know, I saw your picture, James, and you live up there in the mountains and all the other stuff. I mean, has anybody ever mistaken you for Grizzly Adams?
Yeah, I've heard Grizzly Adams, and then a cross between Jesus and Santa Claus, and I mean, I've heard it all.
You do have a Jesus look to you.
Yeah, those are some pretty big footsteps to live up to. I like being nobody. It really works for me because there's nobody to defend and nobody to argue with, and so people can just call me nobody if they want.
Yeah, see, I like that too. You just kind of you go along with the masses, and then you just attack from afar.
Wasn't there an old Italian spaghetti western called "They Call Me Nobody"?
I love that movie. My name is Nobody.
I never saw that.
It's My Name is Nobody.
With Fonda, I think.
Well, yes. And the thing I really loved about that movie, John, was the fact where he goes into that bar. Remember that bar scene?
Right.
Where the guy says, "Get out of town," and he slaps him. And then he pulls a gun on him. He posters his gun, and he slaps the guy, and he puts a gun on him. I love that movie. Okay, James, anyway. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want you to give everybody that doesn't have a clue about the ranch. Tell me what the purpose of the ranch is and how it all got started, if you can.
Well, it started after the near-death experience. I started having visions, and then I studied for about 30 years with almost every, you know, yogi, lama, master teacher you could think of, took every process-oriented therapy program. And I realized basically that many of our problems come just from our old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and that's the disconnect that keeps us from connecting, you know, with the God within, whatever name you want to give it. So my whole focus was on creating the kind of ultimate healing center to help people process and address it on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So that was the main goal. I kept having visions, and I found where this place was on a map and actually used a pendulum over a map of the United States to find out where this was. And my hand got real hot over this one area, and I saw visions of this huge mountain, little mountain behind me, and a beautiful river on the eastern border. And when I stood on the property, it was exactly what I saw in the visions. But what I couldn't figure out in the vision, I kept seeing these words, little mountain, little mountain. And I said, this makes no sense whatsoever. And then I realized the road that I'm on is called Little Mountain Road. And just behind me is Little Mountain. So the vision didn't really make sense until I got here. And after I got here, the road and the mountain is on the property. It's right behind me. That's how it came into being. I sold everything and moved up here and bought this land and started building this retreat center.
And now, if I recall correctly, where you're located at here is towards the base of Mount Adams. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, isn't that where, I believe in 1947, Kenneth Arnold had his famous experience with some UFOs?
It is. Actually, he lost sight of them when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, which is my front yard. It's exactly where we're facing when we do the sky watches and watch, you know, the UFO activity here, which is a real long history. The Native Americans have talked about it for years. They've had contact. Forest rangers, the fire towers, the police, especially the tribal police, all we have them on record coming forward about all the UFO activity and all the things they've been called out on. It just has, we have Air Force base commanders coming up here, pilots, air traffic controllers. Almost every alphabet agency has been here and walked away just shaking their heads, you know.
Wow. When you took the leap of faith, okay, for your, you said you sold everything, you know? When you took your leap of faith, I mean, was that's a gutsy thing to do, James. I mean, just sell everything and just say, okay, well, I'm sure everything's going to work out. I mean, was there any moment that you sit there and went, man, you know, maybe this wasn't such a great idea?
You know, there was times when I was up here building the ranch all by myself, and it looked like I was building this ark because I took an old bridge that was taken off the river and built the main building out of it. You know, and people are looking at me. It's almost like that movie, you know, with Noah in it, you know. What's that, Bruce Almighty? There's another one after that. But, people are just going, you know, you're nuts. What are you doing out here? You know, you gave up everything. You had a beautiful house on the beach in Northern California. You know, you didn't have to work. You know, you had an income. You had all this stuff. What the heck are you doing? You know, and before that, I was doing commercial real estate, and I had a lot of people working for me. It was really successful, and after the near-death experience, I left that. But, you know, they just said, you're nuts. You know, what are you doing out here? I was so blissed out. I mean, people thought I was stoned. I went into the local restaurant to have breakfast, and everybody goes, I don't know what kind of drugs he's got, but I want those, you know. And it was just because I was following my joy, following my purpose, and I was doing meditation three times a day, and I was just so plugged in. That was the only thing that they could assume was going on, that I had a really good stash going. But basically, I drink a glass of wine now and then, but that's about it.
Don't you really think, James, I mean, really, when you look back on the thing, it was a decision that was a, I don't want to say spiritual, but it was your holy grail, if you will?
It definitely was. I mean, there was times I was sitting in the field, and I used to have a joke, you know, that like in the field of dreams, they say, you know, if you build it, they will come. And I'm the only one sitting out here hammering away, working my butt off, you know, and there's nobody else here. And I realized that, you know, maybe what they really said is if you build it, you are dumb, you know, not they will come. And maybe I misunderstood that, what they're really saying. But, you know, people started coming, and more started coming, and they started experiencing energy here, and some incredible healings were taking place. And now we have, you know, these conferences we have there. There's 400 people here, and
wow,
miraculous healings that happen that are well documented. People just camping out in this field. They have these bizarre experiences, and, you know, they wake up and tumors are gone and things like that. And it's you know, I don't want to make any false claims or promises for anybody. I just observe it, and they show me the before and after x-rays and things, and I go, you know, that's great. You know, that was between you and God. It wasn't me. You know, it's between you and whoever showed up to help you. We were just having just incredible things happen up here, and I think it's because it's on a vortex. There's some incredible energy here, and people come up here and have some amazing experiences.
Well, when we come back from break, I want to talk a little bit more about some of these unusual events and phenomena that are happening at the ranch. And we'll do that right after this brief message.
Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep, and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
I want to get into some of the questions that the members of AboveTopSecret.com have asked, mainly because that's our home and our website. And the first one is from this member by the name of ATS Guy. Gee, it took him a long time to figure that one out. And it says, Mr. Gillian, do you remember the interview that you did with Art Bell on Saturday, February 17th, 2007? Yes, of course I remember. No, I'm sorry. There was a man by the name of Solomon who called in from Vancouver, British Columbia. He said that he had been in contact with E.T. since he was 3 years old. I guess what his bottom line question is, do you think, James, that there will be a mass landing when this thing really transpires?
My understanding, I've said it all along, that it's on their time frame, and they're monitoring us, and they're seeing where we are, you know, at consciously. You know, right now, I mean, we've already had mass encounters, especially with low-level contacts and involved with the government and things like that.
Right.
But the extremely benevolent ones, the ones that have, you know, full use of creational energies, you might say, are the ones with the real juice or the real power, are just kind of monitoring, and they're watching, and they're observing, and they're working in ways that we'll never see. It's very hard for them because they can't interfere in free will, and we have to make choices, and they can't interfere in our evolutionary process, but they're doing all they can, you know, according to their principles to assist us in taking the right turn. And I think real shortly we're going to see that turn. We're in the shift right now, a huge shift, and you know, we're seeing it politically and economically and everything. And so I think the more we have the consciousness for it, the more we have the leadership for it, and the more we stop shooting at them, you know, the closer the contacts are going to come.
Can't make out his name, but
I think it's Paul Pippady.
Okay, thank you so much. You probably don't remember, James, but I gate-crashed your luncheon that you were having with your two director-producers of your film. Contact has begun at the DoubleTree Hotel in San Jose at the conference a few months ago. Well, I did not exactly gate-crash, as you were very kind to me and invited me to actually join you. My question to you, sir, is this. Giant flying reptiles are routinely supposedly sighted in the Olympic National Park's rainforest in Washington State. He says he noticed on a map Wenatchee is less than 200 miles from Mount Adams. Do you consider that the frequency of UFO sightings over Mount Adams and the sightings of these supposed prehistoric flying reptiles could possibly be connected? Many regards, Brian.
Yeah, I do remember him very well. And, you know, there are so many weird things going on up here. We're right in the middle of what they call Bigfoot Central. People everywhere are seeing Bigfoot here, and it's just accepted here. They don't want to talk about it because it's a strong Baptist logging community, but if you talk to most of the hunters up here and things like that, they've seen the ships and they've seen Bigfoot and things right. like that, but they'll pull me aside and say, don't tell anybody, but I need to tell you this. And, you know, they said, I saw this object sending beams down, or they'll say, you know, I ran into this creature with red glowing eyes, and, you know, it was 7 to 9 feet tall or whatever, and
right.
scared the hell out of me, and I threw my gun down and ran, you know. And so they say, when, you know, and the things scream at them when they get into their territory, so it's just accepted knowledge here. Now, the pterodactyl incident, there's been several of those, and we had an incident here which was really strange, and I had several witnesses. And we had something sitting in the top of one of the trees here. It was pretty far out in the field. And we have some, a lot of toys here. I have a 40-mile laser, green laser, and some other things, and some pretty big spotlights. I was zapping this thing with the laser, you know, trying to, not hitting it in the eyes, but just kind of lighting the tree up around it, trying to see what the heck it was.
Right.
And it was letting out this, the weirdest screech I've ever heard. I don't know what this thing was. And it wasn't anything I've ever heard before. I've heard owls and screech owls and things like that, but this thing was different.
Wow.
Well, I walked out there to it, and I had a little headlamp on, and I had my laser, and that was about it. And I walked right up to it, and I was zapping it with the 40-mile laser, you know, trying to, you know, get it to fly so I could see it.
Right.
And so this thing took off, and it flew right over my head, and it had a massive wingspan. It didn't look like anything I've ever seen. I could see its outline pretty well. The moon was pretty bright. So, you know, all I can say is this thing was much bigger than any kind of owl I've ever seen, and it made the weirdest noise I've ever seen. But that's one of the experiences we've had here. We have these really large black cats that people are seeing that are twice as big as a regular cat. and there's some kind of an animal running around here which might be in between a bobcat and a raccoon. It's real strange, but it's really rare. Yeah, but there's been a lot of strange things. On the reservation, they see these things up in the trees that, you know, look like Yodas, you might say. So, and a lot of little beans. They see these little beans carrying baskets of sticks. They look like something out of The Hobbit, you know, out of
Portland. Wow.
There were
wow.
six trained officers there watching some of these things. So
these are legitimate yeah. people that are seeing these, right, James?
Well, some are doctors, and there's a psychologist up here that's trying to catch Bigfoot. And, you know, it's really interesting. What he's doing is they're putting out all these apples and pears and things like that with all these incredible sensory gear, you know, to trigger and try to film this.
Right.
This Bigfoot. And so they've been, and they do, there are actually people up here that feed it, you know.
Yeah.
That don't want to tell anybody about it, but they actually put food out for them, and they come around. But they put cucumbers and apples and pears and things like that out.
We got another member by the name of Mr. Disturber. And his...
this is going to be a good one.
Well, yeah. And his first line says, "Whee!" Sounds like one of those those backwoods Arkansas movies. Whee! Yeah. Anyway, it says, "Guys, you have to make sure you ask James what he knows of Stephen Greer and SETI."
They've actually been here. He came here and he did his some kind of ambassador training. They had quite a few people here. After they came here, we had, I don't know how many ships came in. We got about three big triangles on film, as well as countless, I don't know how many other ships, and filmed them.
Right.
And for some reason, you know, I've offered him the footage that we took here, and he just refused it. He wouldn't take it. I don't know why, but there's some groups out there that just are lone wolves. They want to, you know, be the one and only or whatever, and it's really hard to work with them. We pretty much work with everybody, anybody that wants to come here and have their own experience, and share our footage with all the other UFO groups. We believe in, you know, everybody cooperating and working together, and, you know, no one messiah, you know, that controlling the experience, you might say.
If Dave and I wanted to come out there, you'd gladly let us come out there with our cameras and stuff and maybe do a little radio remote out there?
Oh, no problem. You're more than welcome anytime.
I'd love to do that, John.
Yeah,
how about you?
That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be very interesting.
And we'll take 66.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have done that. A lot of people have come up here and have done live broadcasts. And right at the end of the broadcast, things got pretty hairy, you know, so it was pretty funny.
You say they got pretty hairy, what do you mean they got pretty hairy?
It was so funny. Right at the very end of the broadcast, you hear everybody going, "Oh, my God," and the whole group out here watching, the whole mountain just lit up with this massive light.
You know, I'm already beginning to love these beings around your ranch. They know what a good radio cliffhanger is all about.
Yeah, they wait right to the last minute, right when you're going, "Oh, man."
Yeah, we need some producers for our syndication show. Can you think we can get some of these ETs?
Oh, probably. You know, one thing about UFOs, it's like number two as far as things searched out on the internet. You know, so I know when I did an ABC interview here with ABC came, and we had a ship come right in for them. You know, it was pretty amazing, but they were very positive, gave a really positive view of the whole thing and used the history, all the evidence, everything. What was interesting is that it got squashed. It it went locally all around. It was, you know, the Northwest here, but started getting out to California and other places. They just sat on it real quick just because it was too believable. You
right.
know, they had all the evidence and all the doctors, and, you know, Dr. Jalen Hynek has been up here.
Wow.
Investigating. All of these guys have been up here. It was really good, but they said their ratings went through the roof. They said they have never, ever had that many people calling in. You know, basically said the sponsors loved it. You know, big ratings, the sponsors love it. So,
you just mentioned Dr. Hynek. Who else besides him and Dr. Greer have been there that we might recognize?
Steve Marino with PSI Applications. I don't know if you know who he is, but he did an extensive research on it and came up and got to see the ships themselves. As far as the conferences, when we have the people up here, we had Neil Freer, we had Nick Bajic, we had Alfred Rebre, Dr. Michael Sala. They all came up and saw the ships firsthand themselves. There's been so many. I tell you what's really interesting is the people that are on the forefront of ufology, you might say, the most well-known ones, won't even come here.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's because there's a program now. And what it is they're trying to keep all the ufology, they're trying to keep it in the past or far away. And they're not really covering what's happening now, you know, right now, what's happening now. And they don't want to go further into not just are there ships here, but who's on them and why are they here. They don't want to take it to the next level, and it might be outside of their expertise or whatever, and they don't want to compete with somebody that might just know a little bit more than they do. There's a lot of competition, unfortunately. I've invited these people out over and over and over again. They've been in the area. They don't come. It's just unbelievable. And I said, here's a chance. Have your own experience. And you can bring your camera out and grab it on film or whatever. And they don't take it up, which is crazy. And some of the even UFO reporting centers, there's one in particular that does everything it can to keep people away from here, including changing reports and moving known sightings. I mean, we had an elk abduction here where a UFO came and it picked an elk up in front of 14 people working for the Forest Service, and they all witnessed this thing, you know, beam an elk up and flew by them as it was picking it up, and it couldn't get it quite inside the ship in time, and it had to turn around and come back the other way to get it up into the ship. So they all saw it very clearly, and the next thing you know, this experience was moved way over to Mount Rainier somewhere when it was really on the backside of Mount Adams. But, you know, we've had engineers come up here and wrote wonderful reports of what they experienced, and then those reports were changed to they saw nothing but meteors and satellites. So we have both reports. We have the original report made by the engineer, and then we have the changed report, you know. So it's pretty obvious there's some people that are not who you think they are that are in the field.
We have another member here who, first off, he sends accolades to Dave and I and the whole Above Top Secret Forum for inviting you to be a part of this interview. And he says, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for inviting him to be here. My question is this, and before he actually gets into his question, he gives a little bit of a detail about him having telepathy and also experiencing contactees and ET-like beings when he was younger. His question is this, have your contacts ever commented on the elders? Why did the encounters with human-looking visitors drop off dramatically in the late 80s and the early 90s worldwide? The gray visitors becoming predominant after that time. Not with me, thank God, he adds. And information of this swift change would be greatly appreciated. He thinks that some of the sightings have dropped off. What is your thought on that?
You know, it does seem, what's happening here is that they're actually based underneath the mountain. There's a massive base here, so nothing ever dropped off here. We're seeing them all the time. But it does seem like they held back for a little while and regrouped, and I know they had to deal with some other problems out in the universe that concerned Earth in the long run with some very controlling groups. But what I understand right now is that we're going through a phase, and the consciousness in which we seek is the consciousness in which we connect. And unfortunately, the consciousness of our leadership here on the planet is not very evolved, you might say. It's more in control and dominate and shoot them down, steal the technology, and use it for the war industry. And because that's the program, they kind of backed off a little bit, and they said, you know, we'll wait till you guys evolve a little more. We're going to do things on another level through frequencies and inspiration and consciousness, but that's about it. But from my understanding is right now, there's going to be a huge shift right now. It's a great pouring out of consciousness and energy. The frequencies are changing, and we're being prepared. one of the things I saw happen was right over Portland State University, there was a massive mothership, and we have it on film. At 2:30 in the morning, it was pulsing, this deep pulse. We asked, what were you doing over Portland State University at 2 in the morning or whatever? And they said, higher learning, you know. So what they're telling me is that they're working a lot with people in their dream state and their sleep state, and they're giving them the information so when contact does happen, it's in people's subconscious, and it's just going to be accepted. They're going to say, oh, okay, I know who these guys are. I know what this is all about. And so a lot of the knowledge they need to be a part of the awakening healing process has already been received, and it's in their subconscious waiting to come forward. Was a little kind of a lull there for a little while, but now it's really picking up.
Can you possibly explain what you mean by this frequency, and can anyone learn to do this?
You know, yes, they can. What's happening here is pretty much everybody is seeing the ships here, anybody who comes here. And the land itself is being a vortex. The veils are much thinner here, so it is much easier to see and feel and receive messages here, you know, just because of the nature of the property. What a lot of people don't realize is people think you see with your eyes, and they say, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's not true. You actually see with your brain, and you have a billions of bits of information coming through your eyes, and your brain chooses what part of that information is usable for it. So it's a matter of your neural net and what you're able to see. And there's been a lot of experimentation in this. Have an open mind and a loving heart and really want to have the experience, and then that door seems to open for you. But it's really different than people think. And if we don't have the neural net for some things or the ability to perceive them, we're not going to see them.
Right.
But the children really see these things. It's amazing. They because they haven't been so conditioned.
Right.
They're usually the first ones to see them and receive messages and just take it for granted. You know, with the conferences and everything else, we're bringing out the top physicists, you might say, top
right.
teachers or healers, bringing them out to the ranch and having them talk. And anybody aligned with the awakening healing process, and a lot of them that come here are just blown away. They have a major awakening, too. We had, you know, Brooks Agnew. Do you know who Brooks Agnew is?
Yes, I do. Isn't he Spiro's brother?
No.
No. No, it's a different one.
I guess I don't know him then, sorry.
Yeah, but he's a geophysicist, and he's been on the circuit for a while doing lectures, and he's written books about, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the real history of Earth.
I do remember that guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, amazing guy. But, I mean, he's a very strong scientist, very physicist. He goes, I use instruments to gather data and things like that. Well, he came here, and he got a beam beamed right in the chest while he was standing there staring at the mountain.
Wow.
He was asking them for an answer. Well, his whole body lit up, and people saw all kinds of symbols and looked like maps and everything. His whole body just lit up, and it changed him for about 3 days. He couldn't even talk about it without crying. He said it was the most incredible download and experience he's ever had. You know, he goes, you know, I use instruments. I don't use my body as an instrument to experience things like this, so it was a major eye-opening for him, and there's quite a few people that come up here and have these experiences, and they're changed dramatically, and they realize that, you know, this isn't nuts and bolts. This is a lot more than the 1% that we can measure and identify, you know, with the five senses. This goes
right
back into the 99% that's out there that all the physicists know about, that we don't have the senses develop
right
and experience.
I believe, if I recall correctly, in a interview past, you had said something along the line that you had about 60 hours or more of footage of some of these great events and phenomena happening. Have you captured
mm-hmm.
more since then? And if so, what are some of the most memorable events and captures that you can recall?
You know, we have about, I don't know, probably 80 hours now.
Wow.
I mean, it's been ongoing. But I think the most awesome one I had was, we had pre-knowledge in meditation. There was a Pleiadian by the name of Blaji that I was working with, and she said, you know, at 8 o'clock we're going to come over the building and have your cameras ready. And I had a couple other UFO investigators there, and I even had a guy there from Special Forces so that was interested in it. And sure enough, she came right on time. And you hear the people in the background going, you said it. There it is. You know, this ship is incredible because it's kind of a pinkish color in the middle. It's blue on the outside, turquoise on the top and bottom. And it's this brilliant sphere, and it has rotating fields, and it's pulsing. people that have looked at that said, you know, we have no idea what this is. This is so far beyond any technology we can imagine, but there's definitely some extremely high physics involved in this. You know, it's not a pie pan thrown up there, you know, or it's not anything that that we could fit into our reality. And then I also have massive ships coming over the top of the mountain, moving down, splitting into many as three or four ships, and then coming back together again and taking off. You know, I have footage of jets chasing these ships, and they just either power up and vanish, you know, or the jet goes by and then they just reappear again. You know, we have so much footage of, you know, we have the black helicopters. They come visit us on a regular basis as well.
Right.
The footage I like the most is the ones that show extremely high physics, you know, where they can morph, just vanish, you know, reappear, or turn into more than one object, you know, or they show, you know, things of that nature. We do have some metallic-looking ships, and, you know, those are nice, but I'm really more into the more extremely advanced ones myself.
Yeah. You mentioned while you were describing some of these events that you are contacted. I'm just curious, how is this for you to be able to receive this information?
You know, different groups have different signatures, and it's an energy signature that you feel, and sometimes you'll hear a loud ringing in your ear, followed by a pressure on your third eye, you know, right above your eyes there.
Right.
You'll feel a pressure on your forehead, and then around the top of your head, it'll be like you're wearing a beanie cap. You know, there's a lot of science behind that, and that's where the higher communication comes in from. Sometimes you'll hear a deep, deep bass, like a throbbing bass energy, and those are the really big ships. And I feel them on different sides of my body, which is really interesting. The really loving, played-in kind of giddy energy that we feel, is it just makes you feel really giddy, and I feel this tingling on the left side. Most of those contacts, almost all the played-in contacts I've experienced were females. And, and they told me there's a reason behind that, because we don't get defensive. You know, we're very open. You know, you have a beautiful female being appear before you. You don't grab your gun. You know?
Sure. And
you invite them in for coffee.
That's right. And who knew that they were attracted to the Grizzly Adams look?
Yeah. They use that, you know, because we aren't as scared and defensive, you know, with females. A lot of the first contacts are females. And some of the women will have male contacts. You know, it's pretty normal. But, you know, with me, I'm, believe it or not, I'm a very grounded person. I'm kind of one of those show me people. So,
right.
So, and I'm not open to any kind of contact. I mean, there's some contacts up there you probably shouldn't be open to, and other beings, you know, that don't have your highest and best good.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I don't mean to interject here, but I feel the need to. You know, speaking of the contact and you saying that there might be some that you don't want to, how would we know that the people that are contacting you aren't malevolent and possibly just trying to deceive us for some unknown agenda that they may have?
You know, to me, it's the ability to sense intent and their frequencies.
Yeah.
And you can sense that they're extremely evolved beings, and they've never really asked for anything. They're in pure service mode. They've evolved to that level. They don't really need us for anything, the higher beings. You know, as you move down the vibration continuum into the low-level contacts, they're more here for self-interest, you might say. They're here for something that they need. The higher beings really don't need anything from us. They're just here to serve and hopefully get us through some very intense times. You know, we're taking an evolutionary jump that's a quantum leap, you might say, in consciousness and energy and evolution, and they're trying to assist us to get through this process right now.
I'm utterly fascinated by everything that I have read in the past few years and the people that I have talked to that have had a chance to visit your ranch, and I'm very serious about this. I would really like Dave and I to come up there and do a remote up in your area. Yeah, I would too.
I don't know if I want to do it when you got 4 feet of snow on the ground.
No, it's not a good time. You need some clear skies up here in the warm weather. It's a lot nicer.
I'd love to come up there.
Welcome any time.
Well, that'd be great. One more time, tell everybody where they can go and be able to get more information about you, the ranch, and what you are doing.
You know, the best way to get a hold of us is go to, you know, www.eceti.org, and that'll give you all the information, contact information, how to get a hold of us. If you just type in, you know, contact has begun, or my name, or eceti, anything, we'll on YouTube, or even UFOs will pop up there somewhere. It seems like we're right at the top. But, you know, as far as our main thing, we're really here to, you know, 100% focus on awakening and healing of humanity and the earth and bringing in whatever is conducive to that. You know, we bring in a lot of information about alternative energies, you know, earth-friendly energies, just, you know, healing technologies as well, you know, as far as not just mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but physically.
Right.
It's all geared towards just, you know, basically waking up and being kind to each other and the planet. That's what it's all about.
We want to thank you, James, for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with Dave and I. And we want to remind our listeners, if you would please, one more time, you can go and visit James' site at www.eseti.org. James, thank you one more time for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. And anytime you guys have an open invitation to come up, and anytime you want me to come back on the show, I'd love to be on the show again.
Yeah, we'd love to have you, Grizzly.
All right.
And he says that with all the love he can muster.
Yeah, it's a love thing.
It is a love thing. And speaking of love, we certainly do love that you folks decided to join us on this ATS Mix interview. On behalf of the staff and also all the wonderful members that provided those great questions for James, I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the ATS Mix.
If you like what we discussed, you're going to love AboveTopSecret.com. I can tell you, AboveTopSecret.com's members and staff, they're top-notch. They're smart, current, articulate, and would you believe they're even polite? In fact, AboveTopSecret.com is world-renowned for its excellent management. And since they're one of the best boards on the internet with thousands of posts every day, you know they're doing it right. They've also got a hilarious podcast called ATS Mix, hosted by legendary Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, that covers all the hottest AboveTopSecret.com topics and conspiracy rumors. AboveTopSecret.com has dozens of forums, from UFOs and aliens to conspiracies, paranormal, and much, much more. So much more that I don't have time to name them all. Take it from me, AboveTopSecret.com is worth your time, because with more than 3 million posts and more than 250,000 topics, the truth is in there. So stop by AboveTopSecret.com and tell them I sent you. You can thank me tomorrow.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.